Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. 68 teams started the tournament. Only the best have survived. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new customers in the center of the action. Bet $1 on any tournament game, and if your team wins, you win $100. It's that simple. Pick any college basketball team that's still in the hunt for your shot at winning $100, and all it takes is a $1 bet and that team winning their next game. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN when you sign up, and you can turn $1 into $100 if the team of your choice pulls off the win. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with MetEase Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. That means it's time to Ask Greg. So here's how Ask Greg works for our new listeners, and I'm looking at you, Punxsutawney. This is where we have Greg answer your Penn State football or recruiting questions. If you want to submit a question, you can download our app from the App Store. It's Keystone Sports, and you'll see a nice button there that says Ask Greg. Or if you prefer, you could email us at info@ksnsports.net, and you could just email us your question. After the segment, we're going to select the best question, and the winner will get a great package courtesy of thetailgateclub.com. They have those great barbecue sauces from 409 Tailgate that we all love, plus many other great products, things, Greg, like bacon ketchup and sweet banana pepper mustard. All great stuff, all from thetailgateclub.com. So are you ready for your questions?
Let's do it.
All right, let's start with this one. This one's an interesting question. This is from Steve in Chicago, who says, Greg, based on Franklin's desire to have Mike Yurcich join the coaching staff, do you think he still would have hired him if the Big Ten kept to their original game plan and not played a 2020 season?
Yeah, that is a great question, Jim, and I think that it's interesting because you have to ask yourself a question. I mean, your biggest question you have to ask yourself here is this. If Penn State, could have hired Mike Yurcich before they hired Kirk Ciarrocco, would they have? And I think the answer to that is yes. So there is a – it seems pretty cold-blooded to hire a guy and then not have a season and then move on from him before he would even get a chance to start – to start coaching. So I think that is, I would have a hard time seeing James Franklin do that, Jim. But at the same time, we know that, I mean, he has said now so many times that it's hard to keep count and keep track of how many, opportunities he's wanted to hire Mike Yurcich or how many times he's had to hire Mike Yurcich. So the simple fact to me that he saw this chance to do it with Texas moving on. I guess the answer really, when you think about it, is no, because does Texas move on from Tom Herman after this season? Obviously we're not talking to, their conference, but, if no one plays this year, then I don't think there's any movement. So I would say that no, my answer would be no, but I certainly, it wouldn't be a slam dunk no, that's for sure.
It's an interesting hypothetical because you just get the feeling that, James Franklin, I hate calling Kirk Ciarrocco a mistake, but it's just they didn't mesh well. Would James Franklin have realized that if they didn't play any games? And, that's the other part of the equation.
Correct, yeah. And I think that would be a little bit harder. But at the same time, don't you think, Jim, that at some point between, the start of the pandemic film sessions and the start of, summer practices that don't you think James Franklin had to have some kind of an inkling at some point that maybe this isn't exactly what I thought it was going to be, or maybe our ideas are not going to mesh the way that we thought they would. You know, don't you think that that had to have, you know, it had to have come up at some point, I think. And then beyond that, you know, don't you think that it's interesting to ponder the idea of, you know, if you know, Mike Yurcich wasn't available, do you think James Franklin still would have moved on from Kirk Soraka? And based on everything I've heard, Jim, I think the answer might be yes, based on playing the season. But this question was about not playing the season. So do not think they would have moved on from him if they didn't have a season. But if you spun that question just a little bit of a different way and said, do you think they would have moved on from Kirk Soraka even if Mike Yurcich was available after the season played out the way it did? I think based on everything we've heard, you'd have to say that answer is yes.
The other part to this, you say about, you know, not moving on, or would he have found out that Kirk Soraka didn't match what he wanted, even if they didn't play any games? Well, I think the fact that they ended up 4-5 and started 0-5 had to play into that decision too. You know, right. Had they finished the season 8-1, do you move on from the offensive coordinator, or do you say, wow, you know, what he's putting out there seems to be working.
Right.
How do I fire the guy? So it's a lot went into that, but Steve, that from Chicago, that's a very interesting question. Next up is Jared from Ohio, who says, in your opinion, who are the biggest hits and the biggest misses in recruiting for the James Franklin era? And part two, what about an underrated hit or miss?
Good questions, all of them. Where do you want to start, Jim? The hits or the misses?
Your call, Greg. You're the man. You're the man answering.
I mean, look, I think the hits, obviously, you start and end it with Trace McSorley, because without Trace McSorley, you don't win the Big Ten title, and you don't go to the college football, or I'm sorry, you're not in the college football playoff conversation. Obviously, wrestling Saquon Barkley away from Rutgers, duh, that's an obvious one. You know, winning over Ohio State for Mike Gesicki, that's a clear one, too. You know, for all the slack Penn State's received along the offensive line over the last few years, Jim, I mean, they have had a number of guys who were three-stars who've come in and started multiple years, and I know that maybe that's been part of the problem at times, but I just think this group has, you know, as a whole, offensive line recruiting maybe hasn't been as perfect as everybody wants it to be, but at the same time, I do think it's maybe been a little bit underrated in the sense that, you know, they've picked up some guys like Michael Bennett. Mike Miranda's a good example right now. Rasheed Walker's a good example. We've come in and started multiple years, and we're not the most heralded recruits of all time. So I think, you know, Will Fries is a good example of that, too. So I think you keep that in mind. You know, when you talk about the misses, obviously, I don't know how, and I know with recency bias, but starts and ends with me, with Julian Fleming and Justin Fields. Obviously, if Penn State keeps Fields in the fold, you just wonder how things could have been different. You know, with Julian Fleming, I know he didn't make a huge impact on campus last year, but I would think we'd all be stunned if he didn't by the time all was said and done out there. And then, you know, there's been some defensive linemen who Penn State looked to be a shoe-in for, and two they weren't. Christian Wilkins is obviously the one that I think hurts Penn State fans the most, but he's certainly not the only one who it looked like Penn State was in the driver's seat for. 4-2, they weren't.
It's funny. I had Wilkins written down here in my notes also. Among the hits, boy, you got to put Saquon Barkley in there. You know, you mentioned how important Trace McSorley was, and obviously that was a huge hit for them. But I think, you know, Saquon Barkley and the effect he had on the team while he was here. And then you see the development of running back since he's left, and you got to say that's an ongoing, lingering effect.
It's right.
The Saquon Barkley effect. So we'll call that. How about, do you have what you would call an underrated hit or miss?
Yeah, really, I think that offensive line one is the one that that really stands out to me the most. I mean, in terms of an underrated miss, that's an interesting one. You know, I really thought C.J. Thorpe would be a pretty darn good player here, Jim, and that just never materialized. Same with Justin Shorter, so I think those are the easy ones. Shorter's not so much an underrated miss. I kind of think you could be. I think it'd be fair to put Thorpe in that category, and maybe Daniel George to this point too. He was a 4-star who really I think everyone thought was going to be a monster, and it just hasn't worked out that way yet. So we'll see if this is the year he finally he finally gets going. And then as for the underrated hits, so to speak, when you look across the position rooms, you have guys who were 3-stars who became really good players. To me, Grant Haley, I think, could probably go into that category. He turned out to be really good. And it's not that he was overlooked as a recruit, Jim, but he certainly wasn't viewed as the surefire hit that he was. And I think the same might be said about the end of Troy Apke's career. Maybe not the start of it, but certainly the end of it.
I'm going to throw a name out there, Lamont Wade, as a miss. Only in that he was the number one guy coming out of Pennsylvania, and we've been dwelling, especially these last couple years, about getting the number one guy out of the state.
Right.
And I'm not sure he lived up to his billing. In the couple minutes we have left, let's get another one in here. This is Mark from Lancaster. And Mark says, the spring game was always a great time to enjoy campus and nice weather. If it is changing, would there be any interest in making it just an alumni game of 7-on-7 flag football? Franklin could still have his 15th practice without having to do a spring game. Then the fans get a nice spring day of football, and it could be a nice recruiting day. What say you, Greg?
Yeah, it's hard for me to say, Jim, because I get the sense that James Franklin, if it was his choice and his choice only, would have absolutely no interest in doing a blue-white game this year. I think he would want to do it in the future because he realizes, to the point of this question, what it means to the Penn State community by and large. But I think he probably would have preferred to not do it this year. However, they're going to do something in a public setting, so that's not going to be the case. But I don't think there's going to be any wide-scale changes, Jim, to the way the blue-white game is run in the future. I mean, could they mix it up a little bit? Sure, I think that's possible. But I would expect in 2022 that we're back to normal and that you're not going to see any, like you said, whole-scale, great big changes to that game moving forward.
I'm in agreement with you, Greg, on the fact that if it were totally up to James Franklin, there would not be a spring game. But there has got to be, so much pressure. Remember, there's like 60 to 70,000 people that come to this game when there's nice weather, and the Big Ten wants to televise it. So you have all of these things, plus it is a time for recruits to come in and visit. It's unfortunate that James Franklin doesn't want it, but I think he's stuck having it.
I think that's about as good of a read as you could get on it. And I do think that I do think that he appreciates what it does for the Penn State community and everything like that. But, I do think that is something we'll have to see what they do in the future.
All right. Very good, Greg. That is it for Ask Greg. Stick around. In our next segment, we will remember to announce our winner, Greg. And again, for new listeners, that's the thing. We often forget, but we've made the commitment. It's going to happen. Stick around for quarter number 4.
68 teams started and only the best have survived. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new customers in the center of the action. Bet $1 on any tournament game, and if your team wins, you win $100. It's that simple. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using code KSN. That's code KSN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.